Good afternoon, I'm Jason Parrott and this is Emphasis. This afternoon we will look at healthcare, specifically services and programs offered through the Lee County Health Department. Our first guest is Christine Van Berkum. She is the Grant Supervisor and Coordinator for the Maternal, Infant, and Early Childhood Home Visitation, or MCV program. Van Berkum says her program, which is relatively new, provides family support through in-home visits.
In order to be eligible for our program, we like to target families that are either prenatal or that have a newborn in the home, which is 0 to 3 months. And then we stay with that family up until the target child is age 5. And the reason that we stay with them those 5 years, if they allow us to, is to prepare them for the school years and make sure that they're reaching all of their developmental milestones and accessing programs if there are any delays to ensure that they're getting the resources that they need to prepare the children for school years.
Is this strictly focused on Lee County, or do you get into any neighboring counties?
We actually just got a subcontract with Des Moines County as well, so the MCV program does go into Des Moines County.
Are there certain income guidelines or qualifications, anything like that? I mean, who can be a part of this?
Really, the biggest requirement is that you are either pregnant or you have a newborn in the home and you are a resident of either Lee County or Des Moines County. We do have a screening process that we carry out on individuals who are interested in the program, but really we like to offer it to anybody, and we can be accommodating to families who are in need.
Why is it important to get into the home? Why is that something that is a priority?
Being in the home with the families allows us to see them in their natural environment and allows us to access the tools that they would have readily available to them on a daily basis to ensure that the tactics or techniques that we are hoping to practice with them, that they can use those in their home with the items that they may have, toys, for example, or nutrition, things like that. We wouldn't want to teach them things that they would not have access to.
Are there certain things that if you go in there and say, you need this, you don't need this, are you giving recommendations that way, or is it more utilizing what they actually have?
We first utilize what they actually have in their home, and when it comes time to further the activities or to further their knowledge in something, we will make recommendations based off of our evidence-based curriculum. And we might say to a family, it would be really great if you guys could use this, or if you guys could get your hands on this particular item because it will benefit you in this way.
Some would say, well, you know what, our baby, we just brought him out of the hospital. Why is this something that we should even consider? Why should we even look at becoming a part of this program?
We always like to say that being a parent is one of the hardest jobs out there, and there's so much conflicting information on how you should do things and why you should do things. And there's a lot of other people in your life that will tell you, well, we did it this way and we did it that way. What we do is we bring an unbiased approach into the home to let the families know this is the latest and greatest information that is out there. Our curriculum is evidence-based. We are accredited. All of the information that we are providing you is recommended and safe. We follow all of the guidelines for our model, which is Healthy Families America. And we are just a support system. If you have a question for us, we may know it off the top of our head. And if we don't, then we will make sure that we research that information and bring it to them at our next visit. I know one of the common things is, do we put cribs or do we put bumpers in the cribs or do we not put bumpers in the cribs? And car seat laws, those are constantly changing. So just to offer somebody constant support and give them information that we know is valuable just gives them a little bit more confidence in parenting.
Next up is Rachel Patterson Ran. She is the iSmile Oral Health Coordinator for the Lee County Health Department. Patterson Ran says the goal of iSmile, which is offered in all 99 counties, is to make sure all children have access to dental care,
specifically low-income populations like Medicaid enrolled children.
How accessible is dental care in a place like Lee County here? I mean, you've got Keokuk, you've got Fort Madison. How accessible is it?
We basically have one dentist in each population center, so one in Fort Madison, one in Keokuk, that are accepting new Medicaid patients at the moment. There are some that have some existing Medicaid clientele, but as far as new Medicaid patients, it's pretty much just two dentists we're working with here in Lee County.
Does that make for a challenge, I would assume, in scheduling and such?
Definitely, especially here in Lee County. We do actually have a high percentage of Medicaid-enrolled populations, so we would like to see more dentists, you know, participate in the program.
How do you get that? Do you reach out to dentists? Is that something that the health department does, saying, hey, could you start to accept these? And if not, if they're not accepting it, do they say why?
That is part of the grant activity plan for the iSmile grant funds that we are trying to reach out to dentists and encourage that they do participate. Popular reasons why dentists choose not to participate, one would be reimbursement rate. They get much less money, you know, as compared to like a self-paying or a private insurance customer. And then also the no-show rate tends to be a little high among that population. You know, they have issues with childcare or transportation and they don't get there or they simply forget. So that frustrates the dentist when the chair's empty.
How does iSmile work into this? How does the health department through iSmile work with the dentists that do? I mean, it sounds like you're only serving those that are Medicaid eligible. Is that the case?
Some of our programs actually serve other children. We tend to target the Medicaid enrolled, but many of our programs are available to anyone. But yeah, we actually have some gap-filling direct services. So whenever we see a child in a direct care setting, we provide like a screening, say a fluoride treatment. If they need further care from a dentist, we'd be sure and link them to that care with a dentist.
How do you go about figuring out who should see the dentist when they see that? What is that process? I mean, you're dealing with hundreds of, especially the elementary age, even younger kids here. How does that process work?
Well, it's usually registered dental hygienists that are providing the care, and they're trained to see decay or abscesses. And depending on the size of the cavity or the nature of what's going on, we know if somebody needs to get in maybe sooner rather than later. Also, there is an iSmile risk assessment tool that is designed to help do that so that we're not sending them all at once, kind of basically, you know, dependent on their needs as to how soon they should be in. So there's a tool we do follow.
Are you identifying them through the school districts? Are they helping in any way with this, or do you identify the students in another way?
We do work with the schools for our school-based dental sealant program, and then we also go into WIC settings, Head Start settings, so we do partner with those as well.
Why is it important to be doing dental care? Why is this something that is a priority?
Studies are showing that dental care and dental health is linked to overall health. More and more studies are coming out with all the overhealth aspects that it's linked to. Also, there tends to be an increasing trend of tooth decay in young children. So we're trying to treat it, you know, prevent it basically before it happens.
Is this just Lee County? Do you only work with Lee County? I know so many services here with the health department span into other counties. Are you just focusing on Lee County?
No, it's regional as well. We serve five counties here in Southeast Iowa. They would be Davis, Des Moines, Jefferson, Lee, and Van Buren.
How difficult is that? I mean, in coordinating, are there different requirements? Are there more numbers in some of the other counties of the actual participating dentists?
It's pretty steady statewide. You know, one per county or one per community, you're pretty much lucky. Some communities don't have any that accept Medicaid, and luckily I'm not in that situation necessarily, but usually about one per community.
Are there certain things that your service provides and certain that they don't? I mean, when you think about dental, you mentioned sealant and stuff like that. Do we get into braces, retainers, anything like that, surgery or anything? Or is this just more focused on kind of preventative?
Simply just basic preventive services that they may not be getting. So basically a screening to check for any problems, and then a fluoride treatment to help prevent the tooth decay. And then other things we might do, basically educational types of services, you know, kind of explain to them how to properly brush their teeth or how to proper nutrition to avoid cavities, that sort of thing.
Our final guest is Melissa Calvillo. She is the Maternal Child Health Coordinator for the Lee County Health Department. Calvillo works with pregnant women and children ages 0 to 22. She says despite the differences in clientele, the services are quite similar.
They are very similar in approach and in the goal. And the goal is to keep families healthy and well and to prevent illness and complications as much as possible. However, how we structure them and how we actually meet the goals in our activities are a little bit different. The maternal health, I have an ongoing caseload, and it's any pregnant woman in a family where their income is 300% or less of the poverty line, and that's pretty generous, so a family of four could make about $70,000 and still fit in that income range. The majority of our clients for both maternal and child health are going to be on a Medicaid. We do have some Hawkeye, some uninsured, and some private insurance, and also mixture. Our maternal health, I have an ongoing caseload. At a time, it can be about a dozen or so pregnant women, and I meet with them. It's very individualized based on their needs to provide prenatal education and some health screening and some health direct health services. The child health program, we mainly partner with WIC to provide those preventative services. The other thing is our child health clinics, we serve five counties. So we go clear to Davis County, Van Buren, Lee, Des Moines, and Jefferson counties. And our maternal is only in Lee and Des Moines counties.
Why is this a service that people should take advantage of? I mean, what is it about it that they can get from this that they couldn't just on their own?
Sometimes the health system is very difficult to navigate and to truly understand what all the benefits are, whether it's from a Medicaid provider or a Hawkeye provider. It's hard for families to understand what all the benefits are, that they're not going to be necessarily charged, and to really find access to doctors. Dentists is a big need. Mental health providers is a big need in Southeast Iowa, specifically ones that accept Medicaid and Hawkeye. So sometimes it's very difficult for them to access their benefits even if they have coverage.
Is there any stigma or anything why people would not take advantage of this? And if so, how do you break through that?
I think that a lot of folks stigmatize folks that are receiving the Medicaid benefits. I certainly do hear that in our conversations with providers and community members. However, there is a clear understanding in our community that it's better to provide preventative health care than it is to, you know, treat, say, cavities after the fact. So I think particularly with mental health, a lot of times the barriers is not necessarily the stigma of it, although that certainly is part of it, but more it's about access. There just aren't enough trained providers a lot of times in the area.
One of the things I saw that was interesting is for the child health, it's not what you would think sometimes of younger children. It goes 0 to 21. Why is there that large age range?
That's correct. We know that we can do the most good with the 0 to 5 age range, and we work very closely with WIC, and that is probably where the majority of our services are for the younger children. However, our immunization rates, in particular for teens and middle school-aged children, and insured rates for those aged children are a lot lower. And so there's a tremendous need for older children to also have preventive care. We also see in that kind of 17 to 21 age range, those preventive checkups tend to decline. So they're not necessarily getting a well checkup yearly or every other year as kind of is recommended, and also their dental checkups. So we do spend quite a bit of time providing care coordination, so providing assistance, getting transportation, say, for somebody that doesn't have access to their own vehicle. There is Medicaid benefits to do transportation. However, a lot of people don't know how to access it, so that's something that we work very, very heavily with on the older, the kind of where they're just transitioning from being a child in the household of a parent, and now they're on their own.
Do you guys seek out clients, or do you just wait for them to contact you?
We have people sometimes just walk in and just say, you know, I need help. Can the health department help me? We're partnering with WIC sites, with schools, certainly our major partner, our providers, dental medical providers. We try and get our number out there so that if there's somebody in need, we attend health fairs in all of our service areas.
And that is all the time we have this afternoon. I would like to thank my guests, Christine Van Berkum, Rachel Patterson-Rand, and Melissa Calvillo. Contact information for the Lee County Health Department is available on our website, tristatesradio.com. For Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Jason Parrott.